The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Our friends are getting preggers, man.
And then it's been so long that then they're not preggers anymore, I think is what I mean. They get pregnant and then they have the baby. And I'm like, wait, oh, we've all been inside for a year. Great.
I know.
Brooke, you posted a fake pregnancy photo.
Yeah, all I did was hold my burrito bump, you know, fucking my COVID-19, everyone. No, it looked too real. And then I was like, I'm starting Weight Watchers tomorrow. Everyone thinks I'm legit prego. Guys, welcome to Sidework Podcast.
Yes, I asked my way on.
Yes.
I cornered you in a social setting.
I love that. I'm a huge fan of that.
I said, hello, I've worked at a restaurant.
Oh, you were on our list, girl. We were doing the podcast when you were living with me. By the way, I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hey, guys. I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace.
And that mystery voice, that forceful, intrusive mystery voice who's now featured on our podcast is Lisa Traeger, everybody.
Yay. Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Like the Airbnb in your place.
It was fun.
I like the Airbnb too. Yeah.
You were a good, easy back house guest. All of you too. We have a lot of friends and listeners of Sidework who love all the Exactly Right stuff. So many of you might already know that Lisa co-hosts with Kara Klank, That's Messed Up pod, you know, a podcast for SVU enthusiasts. Dun dun. And her co-host Kara was on with us about a year ago.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, we talked waitressing a little bit when I told her I was coming on.
I love that. I love
that. Because I mostly talk about my salon receptioning days, so she said she didn't even know that I waitressed ever.
Yes, and honestly, we have one or two people who've really begged us to do a salon reception episode as well, so we'll probably have to have you back because, oh my God.
It was the best, and I was so good at it. Like, the computer system to schedule the appointments, I was just very skilled at it.
Nice.
And was able to squeeze things in and move things and get people in if you were an enjoyable client, and it was, I did like it more. But
I just picture you with constant, like, fun, chunky highlights, you know, just always getting your hair done for free.
Yeah, because they want to butter you up because you're in charge of walk-ins and you're in charge of their money. And yes. So it'd be like, oh, I'll do your makeup before you leave, or I'll put a fun updo on. Yeah, it was nice getting special.
As someone who works in the spa world, who works with reception all the time, you're giving me all the feels by how much joy you had, like, booking clients. It makes me so happy that you found so much joy in that, because I do too, and I have to juggle and shift things all the time myself. So it's fun. So yeah, and yes, Brooke, we should absolutely do a show.
I'm way into
and
it, but
the big part of salon receptioning is, or any salon job, I think, is you come in and immediately in the morning, it's what's for lunch. Like at 8:30,
yeah,
9 a.m.
That's true.
We would discuss what we would be getting for lunch. And if you ordered lunch without asking if everyone else wanted from a place, like, everyone's mad at you, you know? It's a big deal.
Yeah. And orders have to be in by a specific time for you to be able to get lunch. If not, you're screwed. Yeah. Also, like, refrigerators, I know, and then we'll stop. Like, refrigerators at salons are chaos. Like, opening them and seeing, like, that there is, like, maybe, I don't know, 15 employees and there's one refrigerator for, like, everybody's shit. It's a lot.
I never brought. I always bought. I was like young. I never grew up going to restaurants often or ordering in. So like when I became an adult and worked out in the world, I was like so excited to order lunch.
Well, okay. The most important thing though is that you are on today's episode because of course you have waitressing. I mean, you are a Chicago comer upper. You're from Chicago, right? So it's like you came up in the ranks.
The suburbs, I have to admit the suburbs. I never want to be a person that lies.
It's fine. I'm always like Detroit burbs. I'm not. When people are like, you're from Detroit, I'm like, no, I'm not cool. No, it was 20 miles away. But yeah, so of course you have like a classic working experience at a restaurant, which we will get to when we get there. But we're so happy to have you.
Thank you. Blessed to be here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So we do little top of show stuff. You know, we're going to do a little pre-shift meeting, which is remind everyone to listen to our podcasts on One Star Podcast Network. Thank you very much for supporting all of our others. And we asked you last week to be kind and maybe leave us some more reviews and comments. And well, boy, you sure did, Andrea. You want to read the one we got?
Yeah, we got a 3-star review. You know, it's middle ground. Here we go. It's pretty good. Pretty good is the headline.
It's the title.
I like the show, not giving it 5 stars because I don't like how they joined LPN just for the listener bump, then jumped. Now I realize that there may be more to the story, but I don't have any information about that. I stopped listening after, not sure why. I guess I'm just a big LPN fan. The perceived slap in the face kind of ruined the show for me.
Well, apparently they're not going to hear this, Andrea, but this person who wrote in, well, no, they must have heard because we asked for a review. So if you're listening, yes, there is another side of
or maybe
story.
It was just a random offhand review, you know.
But it's so funny where they're like, I think I'm just going to be petty. Hey, we started our own network with Henry's blessing.
Yeah, we didn't use LPN for likes, guys.
Yeah, Last Podcast Network, we love them. They're our real life friends, and it was an absolute and utter joy to be included with them. And then we wanted to provide more shows, a network that made more sense. The food industry is not true crime, people. So anyways, that's what we did, and we love them and miss them. But yeah, we have their full support. So we
like when people think they know everything. Like, yeah. You know nothing. And they're just like, you disrespected them. How dare you? It's like, you know nothing. The balls of people to just assume the inner workings of a business they have know nothing about. It's just wild to me.
And, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's super funny and good for you for sticking up for your boys.
Yes,
but
thank
just
you,
so you,
Darjeeling
know.
77.
But yeah, I guess that's our us setting the record straight. You know, you can't be a network on a network. So, you know, I mean, whatever. We can do whatever the fuck we want. But that just didn't seem like it was on their agenda to host a network on their network. No, not really.
Do you think that there's bad reviews for LPN saying that, like, they kicked us off?
Yeah. Yeah,
I seriously doubt that. But a girl can dream.
A girl can dream. Anyways, oh my God. Yeah, well, I mean, how dreamy that you're on Exactly Right Network, Lisa. They're good.
It felt, yeah, our contract process took a year and a half.
I know it did.
And a lot of our friends were like, just do it on your own. And I go, no, 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 no.
No, you don't get it.
Just do it. I'm like, we're going to wait it out. And we feel lucky. We like our little crew.
You're very great. Smart and, you know, definitely worth the wait. And you guys are like pulling amazing guests.
Oh, my God. I think I do have to say that might have been a COVID perk.
Sure.
Because everyone was bored. We got Eric McCormick and we're like, we really can't believe you agreed to do it. And he was like, yeah, I'm doing nothing. I have nothing to do. I'll talk to you about it. So it is real. We are just as shocked as everyone else. And they're like, how'd you get them? I'm like, I have no idea. I really have no idea.
Desperate for connection and desperate for recognition. Also, yes. When you've been out of work for a year and a half. So good on you guys.
Well, I also wanted to say, I don't know how you guys balance the workload, but I get to work with two, like our producer and Kara, my co-host, They Excel spreadsheets. There's Google Calendar invites. There's Outline. I mean, I couldn't. It's cool working with people that have those skills.
Absolutely.
It's really wild.
I agree. The other day I was like, oh, I got to free up some space in my Google Drive because there's so much backlog of like Excel sheets and documents for all the episodes that we've done. So at least we have a lovely history of hard work.
An almost 3-year outline for what we think would make a really fun book about the restaurant industry. Just throwing it out there. Yay. Well, talking about the restaurant industry, here's a fun stat. This is not a headline per se, but this stat just came out, which is great news for restaurants being back open, that only 39% of Americans know how to make 10 things to eat. Like, that's the sum total. And the percentage is like way worse. Most people are like, I know how to make 4 things. That's it. Otherwise, I'd have to look at a recipe. And I don't do that. Let's go.
Yeah, but
are
we counting like oatmeal? No. Or it's like it has to be, because like what are the limit? What are the rules of this?
So I didn't look at any of the empirical data or stats.
It's
just a funny stat, but I just love that people were probably so fucking sick of being. I mean, I was like, I cannot make this pasta dish one more time. Someone feed me from a different restaurant. But that's great. Americans like literally picked up no additional skills. So restaurants are gonna do great now that we're back out there.
No, when the pandemic hit, I didn't even have cooking oil. I went to Trader Joe's. I bought all this stuff. And then I was like, oh, I need to buy a spread. Like, I didn't even have the stuff to make things. My heart is in New York, and New York taught me bad, bad things. And I went to the coffee shop across the street from my house every day of the week to eat every day.
Yep. It's just what happens. I get it. But, you know, it makes me happy to say that, like, I'm looking at, you know, part-time work in a restaurant at night just to get myself out of the house. I don't know yet if I'm going to do that, you know, but also can I say that our friend who owns a place just hit me up about maybe hosting karaoke nights coming up.
Oh, wow. I was just at the bar on Friday. I was at the Fable and it is not fully open, and everything fully opens tomorrow, and his bar will fully open in Los Angeles full capacity starting tomorrow, as are it's pretty much every place in LA. What I was reading today is like, there's nothing left. All the tiers have dissolved. There's no more limits on anything. Like, staffs is still supposed to mask across the board. But even at Tom's Bar, with like the back patio open, the front tables, and like half the amount of people at the booths, like at one point it was so busy that it was still 3 deep at the bar, because like everybody just needed their drinks all at once and everybody was masked. But I was like, fuck! Like, it was a lot for me to take in. I was like, he was there, and I was like, so next week it's gonna be like, I was like, surely it can't be as packed as it was on your opening day. And he was like, I don't know, man, maybe, which means like you have to push your way through people to like get to the bathroom crowded. I don't know, guys, but you should absolutely host karaoke fair for sure.
It is my number one way to make enemies, and now I'm going to get paid for it. So,
wait, why enemies?
Yeah, you have to be a nice karaoke host.
I promise I will. I will be good. I just get so riled up when I'm doing karaoke. So right. maybe I'll feel the responsibility, you know, and give it more of the gravity it deserves, you know, as the host.
Are you the person that's gonna like stop in the middle of a busy night and sing their own song? Is that gonna be you? Because people don't like that, Brooke.
I know you can't, but Tom will always help himself to a number every once in a while.
He only does it in the beginning when nobody else is there.
All right,
songs.
Yeah, I'll have to sit on my hands, I guess.
What are your go-to songs?
I make the wrong choices all the time. What is this podcast even about right now? We're all just like getting to know each other over Zoom even better. That's what happens. But I realized I think I found my comeback, like first karaoke night, because it's all about having a comeback. You got to pick that amazing song. Uh-huh. I think I'm going to sing Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
Damn, okay.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, you got one?
No, I
do.
I don't.
Things that are in my vocal range. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. In your okay, got it. Both of you. I know Andrea. Andrea is Bette Davis eyes.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I've been listening to a lot of like Lisa the Cult Jam lately and stuff. So I might have to rock like a little like late 80s R&B, like maybe a little New Jack sound kind of situation. That's kind of where I've been leaning lately. But we'll see.
And then Lisa, it sounded like you said you're like just as long as it's in my range.
Yeah, like not hard and like a crowd favorite so other people sing. So then people don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't sing well. So for me, I'm a Britney Spears, Backstreet, TLC. Like that's the world I live in. Pop.
Great.
Pop. Because I've failed before where I've tried to do Dolly Parton or like Marvin Gaye. And it really is. It upsets people. So
it's hallowed ground that you are stomping all over with your voice. Yeah. I pick songs that men sing every time, too. And then I'm like, I can't go that low. Why am I up here? Anyways, so
I also
ready,
learned Matteo Lena, gorgeous singer. He taught me. I walk in, I'm not into lines, and I just give the karaoke person cash. And I go, how soon can I go up if I give you this much? And then I see what happens. So that's what I do.
Yeah, right, cool. It's good to bribe your karaoke DJ. And now, then every time you're in, they're just like, they'll push you up. So, you know, these are things to know. Let me jump into this next headline, which I think is very silly, you guys. So the McDonald's Corporation is testing out automated voice order taking at the drive-thru in Chicagoland area. Probably within the next 5 years, they're saying that most, if not all drive-thrus, will be all voice activated. So there'll be no person at the other end. They'll just be like listening to your voice as it orders, like you're talking to Siri. These are 85% accurate. And can take about 80% of the orders is what they're saying. So this is where things are moving in fast food. Probably eliminating jobs first and also getting, you know, Lisa, we had this arm. It's called Flippy. It's a mechanical robot arm that was made in Pasadena. And it's just a big robot arm and it flips burgers all day. You can lease them essentially for the price of, I believe it comes down to paying an employee $3 an hour if you have this robotic arm flipper. So I'd imagine that this, like, you know, voice like ordering drive through service without another human at the end and with the Flippy, McDonald's will be saving so much money just to not have any humans in the building
it's
anymore.
So disappointing. Do you guys know the movie Up in the Air? With George Clooney, Aaron.
Yes.
Kendra. One of my favorites. I watch it like
all good
the
one.
Time. But
a lot
it
of
teaches
Omaha,
you,
Omaha there.
It teaches you the downsides of machines. Okay. You need human interaction.
Absolutely.
I bet there are people that are lonely and sad that go to the drive thru just to talk to somebody.
Oh, you are 100%. And we've featured stories about an older drive thru employee who was in his 70s, who'd been working there for, I don't know, he was at a Wendy's for like 40 years of his life. It gave him something to do. Everyone went to the drive thru just to say hi to like drive thru Joe or whatever his name was. And they were like, I would go to brighten my day because I knew he worked lunch. And he just was so kind to me and would chat with me and he loved his job. So it's like, it's absolutely the truth. He made people's days really well. I mean, and after like this many months of sitting inside looking at a computer screen, I'm like, I'm ready to talk to the drive-thru person myself, you know?
Yeah, I felt really special. I went to New York for 2 weeks last month and I went to back to my coffee shop. And then the owner was at a different, like one of the other locations and drove to just say hi to me. She's like, I heard you were here. And I was like, oh my God, this is all I want in my life. Like, I just want recognition for my favorite restaurant.
It's so good. I can't wait to get back into it. I had a moment where, yeah, I was recognized the first time I went into this person's restaurant that I've been like, fangirling over and commenting on their social, and they've been so sweet, and to sit out down at the bar and they're like, hey, it's Brooke, and I'm like, oh my God, you, yes, they know who I am. Fan forever. Cool. Well, let's get into some server
submitted
stories.
OK, Okay. Hey, Brooke and Andrea, it's Sam with another story from my time in a turn and burn chain dispensary in the heart of Boulder, Colorado. This guy's a bud tender. We love when he writes in. Says, I think your holiday episodes are super interesting, and they remind me how dispensaries are during the holidays. 420 is a madhouse, and July 4th is dead. But I found out my favorite holiday to sell cannabis during, Parents Weekend at the University of Colorado. Parents Weekend was equal parts amusing, frustrating, and sometimes rewarding. I sold a lot of weed to a lot of dads during the summer of 2017. Veteran stoner parents and parents who wanted to know about this dab business. Some have their kids guide them to the dispensary with the appropriate levels of angst and embarrassment. I loved it, but it's a challenge talking a stubborn dad out of an insane edible dose. So fucking funny. A regular of mine came up to my counter with her mother. I had already sold her an ounce about a week ago, and she informed her mom that this was her first time in a place like this. This type of thing happened a few times already that day. I was trying to ask how they wanted to get high that day, but my regular was totally checked out, and mom was checking out something in the display case. This contained nothing infused, but had display packaging and basic weed smoking tools. So she pointed to the pipes and asked with gusto, are these butt plugs? And he says, hell yeah, dude. I tried to say, nope, these are not butt plugs. They are pipes, which was my prepared response for the situation. But my regular beat me to it by screaming with the raw fury of an embarrassed kid, snapping, they're pipes, mom, pipes, mom, they are pipes. The mom and I had a good laugh together, and my regular was not super jazzed. Mom bought some high CBD gummies and tipped nicely. Parents Weekend was the best. Godspeed and good tips, Sam.
Aww. Cute.
I love this story.
Dude, thank God I haven't gone into a dispensary with my parents yet. It's a wild world. I just bring it to them in my suitcase, you know? That's the best way to do it. I don't want to be inside one of those with them.
Oh, I took my mom. It was so fun. And then, like, she took a hit of a vape pen, and, like, for the first time, and I have a video of her doing it, and she, like, she takes one hit, and she, like, looks at the camera, and then she, like, laughs and, like, blows out the vape smoke. I was like, this is welcome to the rest of your life. Like, you know, it's kind of, but it's fun. It's a fun, fun thing.
I wish I had that. My parents refuse. They're outdated in their beliefs, but my nephew loves some weed, and that's cute.
That is very cute. My brother.
And he's 18. So it's I'm like feeding a 12-year-old weed, but it's cute that he likes pot.
My parents probably go through more weed than I do. Like every time I go back to visit, they're like, oh, we ate all those gummies like 4 months ago. They've been gone forever.
Wow.
Okay. Nice.
No, and I wanted to drug my parents, but my therapist said it's unethical.
I technically drugged them in the sense that they were very, very unhappy many years ago. And I told them the merits of taking antidepressants. And they've both been on, I think they're on Celexa, a very low dose, each of them. And they like each other now, have a great relationship, and then also started drinking wine. So I drugged my parents. That's how I did it.
That's incredible.
Oh, it's a crazy story. They were like, they were just both spiraling off into their own mental health problems and then actually got help. And they're on a once a day med and life works.
I love
now.
It.
Yeah.
Now
my mom is so confused about therapy. And she's like, everyone's going. I go, yeah, all our parents who didn't believe in it ruined our lives. And none of us want to be like you. So, yeah, we're going to go to fucking therapy so we could learn to apologize to one another, you know, or whatever. Oh, yes. Anyone is working on.
I'm not gonna lie, I had it like 2 hours ago and I'm still a little raw from it, so I feel a little wonky. I'm on my period and I had therapy, so I feel all discombobulated.
All right, let's jump into the next story. Hey, ladies, I worked at a private golf country club in New Jersey for 4 years as a server and bartender. One night I was serving the owner of the club, who is a cheap asshole that looks like a cross between a blobfish and a wannabe Italian mobster. He had been drinking lots of wine with his four equally repulsive friends that night. And when I noticed that his glass of wine was empty, I asked, Mr. Gatto, his real name. Do you what you want with it, because I don't care anymore. Would you like another glass of wine? To which he responded, if I have another glass of wine, I'll be trying to fuck you. Oh, God. Mind you, I was 20 years old and he was like 70-something. As I was looking around the table at the other men to see their reaction to the absurd comment, the owner said, I'll have half a glass of wine. I said, sure thing, and fetched his half glass of wine, wondering if what I heard was real or not. I had endured lots of sexually inappropriate comments during my time at the country club, but this was definitely the most shocking, especially coming from the man who technically employed me. I've since left the country club and found that the grass is indeed greener working at a regular and amazing restaurant. The only benefit of working at the country club was that I met my boyfriend of 3 years there. He's still being held hostage there as the banquet manager, and I try to convince him every day to quit the insanely toxic and disturbing environment that is this country club. I've been listening to you ladies for a while now, and I don't think you've covered the topic of private country clubs. We have not. It's definitely another kind of beast when it comes to service. I'd be willing to offer more information if you ever want to do this topic. Godspeed and good tips, Lauren. P.S. I'm attaching a picture of a blobfish so you can get a better mental image.
Yeah, we all know what a blobfish looks like.
I do know what a blobfish looks
like. Yeah, we've been on the internet. We know.
I've been around the block. Yeah, for sure. That's horrible. Jesus, Lord.
So gross. You know, you're like, oh, cool. It's the owner of the place and my boss. And he just said in front of his group of cronies that if he had another glass of wine, he'd be trying to fuck me. Great. What do I do? Just stand here? Because there's no appropriate response.
Right. Right. And I was like, is that I'll take half a glass of wine supposed to get this like big funny reaction? Like, was that his punchline? That's what I don't also. What a dick.
It's gross. Yep. I mean, like country clubs working in that environment, it's like extra layers of secrecy and, you know, extra protection, because it's like people are paying a fee to belong to an exclusive, you know, dining and drinking establishment. So they do feel entitled to take and get whatever they want. It's, you know, it's not a situation where you can refuse customers at any regular restaurant. These people are like, I'm a paying member. Serve me that woman's head on a platter.
But I do, like, right now, I would love a turkey club from a country club. Chips. Like, I just, like... while lying by the pool. Like, I love pool sandwich. Yeah. So that's what I've been, instead of
you've been
story,
really focused
I've just
on
been dreaming. I've been like, oh, I can't wait. I want a fucking $26 sandwich.
You can hear the plastic clamshell opening because they have to bring you all your food. Plastic containers.
There's also like, I feel like there's a certain smell to like country club kitchens. Like everything's kind of banquety all the time, and like the bars like aren't used normally in and out bars are every day because it's a seasonal thing. So sometimes I just feel like there's a weird smell to things like that as an employee. But we have dabbled a bit and had some guests that have talked about working at country clubs. Like Elliot and Alana Glazer both worked at a country club together for a summer, and his episode he talks about that, which is real fun. And
it's
then
a really fun one. Jen Kirkman also worked
Jen
at a country
Kirkman.
Club.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go back and get your fix there if you want to. But in the meantime, yeah, absolutely. We'll put it on the list and do a deep dive, as they say. I worked at the country club at the pool. I did. Lisa, what the fuck? How did I not? I'm like, oh, my God, I worked at the snack shop at the pool country club.
Oh, the public pool snack shop I fucking love so much, but too. That just reminded me.
Yep. And someone, and I was so mad because like everyone else, I lived in the neighborhood attached, like affiliated with the country club, but there was like the poor like interloper side of where like we worked at the country club, and the other side of our neighborhood belonged to the country club. So there was like,
did you just describe half the plot to Caddyshack? Is that what did you just describe the movie Caddyshack?
Yes. And I would ride my bike to work and someone fucking stole my bike, and I'm like, you rich people, you don't even need it. And it was, yeah. And then I got a new bike, and then someone backed over it with their car, and I came out after my shift at the country club, and my bike was crinkled in half.
What? Jesus Christ.
Man. I know. It's like some drunk in a Benz backed over my little mountain bike. And I was like, that's my ride home.
And like all the rich boys were like,
I know. I don't know.
Like all the rich kids were like, fuck you, townie. And like, you know, sped away in their convertible. Right?
Exactly. And they threw me on my bike. Like I was literally on my bike and they threw both of us into the pool. No, just kidding.
I mean, you guys, I just think we should claim it. I think it's time for an all-female version of Caddyshack. We should ride it.
Oh, and no. watch the male comedy nerds riot with anger. Because that's not how the script is. You can't be all ladies. Ladies can't be Ghostbusters. Guys, thank you so much for heeding our call to more server-submitted stories. If you want to send anything that maybe jogged your memory while we were telling some of these, send them to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind. With Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's get into it. So let's start. Age that you started working at Chicago Joe's.
I would say I was like 22.
Oh, that's okay. Like a 20, ripe age.
Yeah, I think 22. And I probably worked there for 2 years, maybe a little more. And then I ran a comedy show in the back. I couldn't believe that I got hired. I was so excited. And I loved having an apron. I loved the girl vibes. Like I liked I liked it a lot, but the owners were terrible people.
Oh, okay.
Just cokehead. I mean, this isn't even that rare, I guess, but just the dumbest, meanest people. Like when I was pitching to do a comedy show, he goes, yeah. And like the comics, they could stand on a chair and they could talk from a chair and we'll have a buffet. And I was like, we will not have a buffet and we will not stand on the chair. And they were just kind of gross. Like our menu was plastic and it had so many spelling errors.
Yeah.
Like there were so many things spelled wrong.
There are things that are named wrong also. There's something on the menu just called China Burger.
No way. Oh.
Yes, I looked at it.
The food, I have to say, was so fucking good. Like the kitchen was amazing. And then after I left, they stopped paying their supply people. They were just terrible.
Crooks, yeah.
Yeah, there were crooks. There was lots of coupons, lots of bad behavior. And, you know, it's like non-present owners, what I've noticed is like they're not there for a while and then they'll come in and micromanage or come and yell at a few things they don't like and then leave. And that was kind of the vibe where it's like there are actually giant structural problems here. Not like it's like this stapler is not a big deal that it's on the bar, you know, stuff like that. And I still see it sometimes at clubs. Like you could tell someone's not an active owner. But the food, I never had a Reuben before I worked there. It was so fucking good.
That's special.
They had Oyster Rockefeller and Casino that I fucking loved. I love their California club. Like they did have great food. I never knew a Cobb. I'm also like an immigrant. So some things I didn't grow up on or didn't understand. And like Cobb salad, I was like, this is heaven. What is this? I loved it so much.
It was Chicago was the first time I had a Cobb salad that we served at my restaurant. And I was like, I want this for lunch every day.
Yes.
All day, every day.
It was so good. People liked the rib sandwich. I'm trying to think what was really popular, but we also ate in front of customers, which I think is crazy now that I'm a, like an adult going out to places. Like I would grab a side salad from the cooler, ranch or blue cheese, and just like sit in a booth eating it in front of people. The croutons were so buttery and good.
Oh my God.
So I mean, there's always the one table or the one booth that like the whole staff kind of just takes over and like you don't see it unless you're super busy, you know? And I feel like that's just kind of known. And sometimes, yeah, people see you eat because that's life if you're doing side work and there's nowhere else to hide if it's that kind of restaurant.
And Chicago the Joe's brunch for me, buffet.
Yes.
We would eat off the brunch buffet and we would drink mimosas during the job. And like, we would just be eating. They had stuffed shells for their brunch buffet. And it was like, this makes no sense, but this is delicious.
Well, especially when you are hungover and you have to work the brunch buffet. I mean, that's what it's really all about. As a 22-year-old Chicago liver, like that's what it is if you're working a brunch buffet. I remember passing Chicago Joe's. You know, I lived in Chicago for 13 years, and I was like, what? It is like this weird, fucked up, like oasis kind of like offset from the main path, I will say. And the first time I went in there, I mean, and it is solid, but it is just like, it is kind of like a weird wonderland unto itself, in my opinion.
Well, here's the right. Like the description of it is like, so apparently it's three generations, right? That it's been passed down through this Chicago family. And they consider themselves sort of like keepers of Chicago artifact, where they're like, we have stadium seats from Comiskey. We have pictures of Chicago in its heyday and all like famous gangsters and probably like, you know. And I was like, okay, these are a very specific era and type of restaurant. It's like what, it's like an authentic version of Chili's. Like Chili's so badly.
Or, you know the movie Waiting?
Yes.
Yes.
Like it's like tchotchkes like that. Like that's Waiting really. I connected to that movie.
Oh yeah. We watched it about a year ago to just see if it holds up. And we were like, some of it does, some of it no. Definitely not. But yeah, and wait, so they were called what was the name of their fake restaurant? Anyways,
tchotchke or like bajangle
shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. So good. Well, I don't think Chicago Joe's, I don't know if they survived the pandemic.
No, they sold it. They just sold it. Because I got people sending me the article because the movie was featured in Wayne's World, I guess. Okay. And so it was written about that they finally sold it. And so I got a lot of messages the day they sold it. And they were like, the city also hated them too. Like they would come on purpose to fine them for things because they broke so many rules. Like we would give away free mimosas at brunch and they're like, you can't do that. But they would come, they would break outdoor rules all the time and people would come just to give them tickets for fun because they were hated everywhere.
So what was the name of the, like, were they siblings? Was it just probably
the
man?
Dad? I don't remember the dad's name. And then the son was Brad. And then there was a younger son. But Brad just had gelled curls, black tight t-shirts, coked out of his mind and would hire whoever he was dating at the time became the manager. And at one point they were like, all of you are going to be wearing we had to wear coin counter metal things on our for like only a couple weeks. But that was their plan to help combat tipping. I mean, they would also by the end of
worked in the subway?
Yeah.
What is a coin counter?
You know, it's like you hold so that you push the like little buttons. There's a contraption. You put your different coins in to give change to people.
Yeah.
So like, it works. And it typically is like if you work at a newsstand or you're like taking money, like honestly, like if you're a subway attendant, I feel like those are the only places I see them.
What are you, a slots machine at a casino?
Like, yeah, we caught one of the older servers changing our paperwork for tax purposes to help them. Like they would change our money stuff. Like everyone was shady. Like everyone was kind of under the table. Like we had a bartender that married an old man. Like everyone was just a little bit kind of goofy. But the big thing was when the buckets of Corona, the busboys would have to take, because the family lived upstairs. And they would hire sex workers constantly. And so we would get screamed at for our free meals or that we took things or like, I don't know, or we had to wear coin things on our hip. But really, they were wasting money because they were just like buckets of Coronas constantly going upstairs for the sex worker parties.
Wow.
They were shady. They were really not, and they would yell. And then the last time we did the comic, they also, like, our comedy show was popular. Like, everyone would hang out after all the comics would chill. I felt so cool as a young girl. Like, it was a really fun party.
Yeah.
And they would, and comics got free beer, like a couple drinks and a meal. And then it was either or. And then the deals that they agreed to that we had on the flyers, and they'd be like, we're not making any money. I'm like, well, if you don't want to give free stuff and you're not making money, just give us a cut of the bar. And then they said no to that too. So it's like, are you not making money, or like, what's going on? Because you either have to give us money from the bar, right, or you have to feed everybody. But like, so during a show, one of the girlfriends was like, we let you use that room for free. And we screamed at each other. Oh my God. And then one of the managers, Mimi, she had like horrific health problems, like something with her liver or kidneys. So she did have like a tube, like she had like contraptions coming out of her and was very weak, but like couldn't stop eating the rib witches. Like, just would sit at the bar with tubes out of her body, sickly from like kidney failure, and then just like eating and still managing for some reason.
I mean, she seems like she was probably also into the onion mound, which I see on the menu.
Oh, the onion mound was fucking good. I forgot about that. That was so good. And the fries were good. They also gave free bread when you sat down, like delicious bread. That's the thing. Like, the core of it was really great.
Like neighborhood, like very walkable. Like, yeah.
And we had Fast Eddie. We had like an old folks home next door. And so Fast Eddie was an alcoholic and he walked really slow. And so there were three bars on that street. And then he would stop at each of ours and then go home for his day every day.
So this technically was the neighborhood North Center, which is the first neighborhood I ever lived in. So it was actually really close to probably like the Lincoln Lodge technically, or like,
oh yeah.
Yep. Right next to Lincoln Lodge.
By this place clearly like every day. I have no recollection of ever seeing this place.
And then it was like a little,
yeah, and it was like a little, it was like a little hotbed strip of like comedy, because you had like Lincoln Lodge, and everybody would like go to Reese's for drinks like after that, and then it was like Chicago Joe's. So there was like a lot of, I mean, in my opinion, formative, like, to aughts comedy happening, Chicago aughts comedy happening.
And O'Donovan's, I remember. Do you remember that purple bar? They had like mini corn dog weenie things that I loved. I don't remember, but I mean, I do remember. I loved them. Reezy's is still one of my favorite bars. I fucking love it so much.
So why did you choose Chicago Joe's? Was it just legendary to you before getting a job there?
No, not at all. I just was like over salon. I have no idea. I was just applying to whatever. I probably saw it on Craigslist and couldn't believe I got hired. But like, I was just young and needed a job. I didn't think much of it. And I was just jazzed someone would hire me. I didn't really
This your first job waiting tables? This is your very like.
Well, when I was in Iowa State, my friend got me a job at like the fine dining restaurant, and I lasted a day and a half.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I can't see that for
We've
you.
Had, yeah, that's a story that happens a lot on this show where you're just like, nope, never again in my whole life will I ever.
Like, even if Iowa fine dining is too hard, I was like, no, I cannot wear these fucking pants. I can't do it. So
it's too much. No, I get
it. Oh, you know
it's
what else I loved at Chicago Joe's? The soups and chili. Just like you scoop yourself a cup of soup.
I love a scoop your own soup situation so hard. And I'm just like, this is my bowl of soup. Nobody fucking touch it. It has the right soup to cracker ratio. I'm working, but when I have a minute, I will be eating this in a corner with no one looking at me. Like, it's,
yeah.
I love a soup. Now, you're talking about like the owners being crazy and yes, the girlfriends, but like along with that, in my opinion, probably comes some like pretty fucking entitled regulars that you had to deal with who are like, I'm friends with the owner. I'm friends with this guy. Like,
The coupon. It was the coupon crowd. They were like, they had like rewards cards, constant coupons. We had to accept any coupon. So it wasn't even, it was entitled cheap, not even right, but it was like, use this coupon. It's just very heavily couponed. It's like you would make money if you didn't coupon everything. But every, like,
wow.
And the birthdays, you got a free burger. Like it was constant couponing. That was the most annoying people. But it reminds me, like, we would have one day a week, there was $5 flavored martini nights, and women came in and would just get hammered on chocolate martinis. And we couldn't, like, turn down the volume or up of a show in one of the eating rooms, and this woman shoved the hostess into the, like, server station, just had a full mental collapse because she was just so wasted on chocolate martinis and shoved our hostess. And then one time there was a staff having a work dinner and their boss got so hammered on chocolate martinis and was like making out in front of her employees. And it was wild.
It's fucking Chicago, dude.
Oh my God. There was one guy who'd come in for lunch and get the fish sandwich and drink like 4 or 5 Guinnesses. Like I stopped asking him. Like he would just be like ready for more Guinness. And I loved that.
So now your job, did you bartend at all as well? Or did you kind of do a combo?
No. Okay, I would be a terrible bartender. And I've dropped a trick. I wasn't a great waitress either. You know, like some people liked me, but if I didn't, I wasn't fake laugh. I wasn't putting in the full effort. I was just there. I was probably high a lot, I have to say. I like smoked weed in the alley for sure, I'm assuming. I can't imagine. Wait, I can't believe it. Wait, so one time no one could have, like, we hosted this show every week and no one could work the show. So I was like, I'll just waitress the show.
Oh no.
But I did a set and I bombed. Still one of the worst bombs of my life. And then I had to continue waitressing and giving people drinks.
That is such a punishment right then and there.
And girls from my high school were there. And it was just like, I cannot believe I'm bombing and now yeah, it was brutal. It was a brutal moment.
That's ridiculous. Dude, Chicago. So yeah, it does seem like I was looking for something I could catch that was wrong about them, obviously, other than the very, you know, glaring things you mentioned, but it did seem like they made their food from scratch.
Yeah, no, our kitchen was really good. Like so I would, crazy. Even for our calamari, it was like fresh squid that I would see them cut. Like,
wow.
It was really good food. The quesadillas were awesome. Like, I mean, maybe they used some bullshit stuff, but the food was good. For a while. I mean, I don't know. Then they stopped paying people and like really were like such assholes. So I'm sure the quality went away. Mm-hmm. But when I worked there, like we all loved. And I was young. I wonder if it changed. But like we really did like eating the food.
I mean, I went to the show a handful of times. But there was also like, you know, this around the corner, like maybe before you worked at Chicago Joe's is where like Brooke and I worked at Bad Dog Tavern and like ran the comedy show there.
Right.
You know, I and, like, love went on and then
bad. Wait, yeah. That's on Irving Park, right? Like yeah. By the grass.
It's on Lincoln. It's yes. On Lincoln and Lincoln Square, yes. Like across from Old Town School of Folk Music.
Mm-hmm. I've been there. It's cute. I like that. I did a mic there.
Yes, yeah. We handed it over to James Fritz then. Like, yeah,
Fritz
it
did
after
it.
We left.
And then like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there are two things that were hanging on the walls that I would have loved to have. And everyone performed under a Marlin. It was like a giant like Marlin on the wall, which I loved. And sometimes Sean Flannery would perform in like a sailor hat. So it looked super cute.
I love Sean that. Flannery.
Yeah. And then the other thing I love, and I still have not seen this. I should have figured out a way to steal it. Honestly, it was a Guinness ad, but it was all these oysters crying. And it said like, oh no, it's Guinness time. The oysters cried. And never have I seen that anywhere. I always see the pelican and they have great drawings and ads, but like I just want that little oyster. I want that oyster one.
It seems like that, like the fish sandwich should be crying because that dude's gonna come in and have 6 Guinnesses. Oh no, the fish sandwich cried. He's coming for me.
I don't know. I feel like that fried fish like grows gills and swims again and all that Guinness. That's what I think. You're just providing like a river of Guinness for that.
because
that
it
fish
is
to swimming.
It is famously or like wildly the lowest calorie beer you can have, but right. It is heavy. It's like light, but it is a heavy beer. They really invented something special. I mean, I love Guinness.
Well, maybe this episode was actually about like a neighborhood bar and restaurant.
That's the best part of Chicago. Right. I felt like every block had their own little bar and then apartments right. above. And anytime I go to a place anywhere in the world and I can say like, oh, this reminds me of Chicago, is usually the bars I enjoy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree with that fully.
We had Megan Gailey on and she was telling us about the crazy like bar restaurant that she worked at.
Well, where- you know, I know Bridget McNeil's, and me and her, I was helping her do a trivia night, and the manager took her aside and went, that other girl needs to stop talking. And she came back and said, they asked you to please stop talking. And so I couldn't do trivia with her there anymore.
Oh my God.
I also went there on acid once and had some tortilla soup on an acid day.
But I think though why specifically, and I think Megan also described it, why places on blocks can get so hyper local is because when it is that fucking cold all winter mm-hmm. long, people literally only want to come downstairs and like literally run out their front door and into yours. And so a lot of these places become like safe havens because someone, you know, it's like, I'm not going to get on the bus and go somewhere in a neighborhood that's not mine. It's too fucking cold.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah, that's why it's so hyper, hyper local. And I think Megan was even saying that residents of the high rise above her restaurant would come down in the elevator
in their pajamas
to have a martini. I'm like,
very on snow days with when like games were on. Yeah.
I would do that to my coffee shop. Like I would go in there with no pants and just a coat on sometimes. Like you end up feeling comfortable, I feel, eventually.
Yeah,
I'd
be like, they know me. They know me.
Yeah. Wait, but one time, so Kohl's in Chicago, that bar, they brought me back for their like 10-year open mic anniversary. And it was awesome. And I was treated like a queen. I got to go behind the bar and I just felt so cool. And then I went back there Saturday night and I told my friends, like they were calling last call. I'm like, don't worry, we'll get to stay. I'm like kind of cool here. And they were like, you need to leave. I go, but they're like, please leave. It's Saturday and we need to close it. And I was humiliated.
Just scorned. Absolutely.
But I love like Town Hall Pub. I got to sometimes stay after, and it feels or like the Beat Kitchen. Only like 2 years ago or last year, they let me use the bathroom on the top floor. Ooh. And I was like behind the bar, and I was like, this, like, I don't know why I need special attention from restaurants and bars, but it seems like I do.
You feel like the coolest kid in the world. Like, yeah. I mean, the original Tiny Lounge, we used to be able to stay there after hours. It was like, it was the coolest thing ever. Oh. Like the Long Room used to let us stay there late night.
You
like,
get locked in. You get locked in, baby. You know, you have to shutter the blinds and then the real fun starts.
Yeah. The cigarettes get lit up. Up and you're like, oh no, what have I done?
But, all right, I would cheat on my husband with his friend. Yeah, good times.
I would catch people cheating sometimes at Chicago Joe's. Like they would bring their mistress because no one would recognize them.
Nobody's going to suspect that we're having an affair at Chicago Joe's.
No way. This divey old dump, I'd be like, that's exactly where you go to have an affair. But that's just the way my mind works. I think you need to go to a scandalous location when you are involved in scandalous relationships. You know,
like
I mean,
sexual.
Yes. Like sexual.
What's scandalous?
Oh, no. I love like anytime I would be stepping out on my man, I'd be like, we need to go to like a dive bar with like red booths and like a David Lynch type jukebox because everything about this is seedy and dangerous.
And you just like wind up at a Perkins or a Denny's, you know.
Oh, wow. One of the craziest things, this guy wanted coffee and I was like, hey, it'll take a second. Got to put a new pot on. I'll be there, you know. And then I came back and he was like, oh, I'm just so thirsty. I had to put sugar in my water. And he like put sugar in his water to drink because he couldn't just drink water or wait for the coffee.
Oh, okay. No, that person's probably dead. So do you, and then you went on from Chicago Joe's. Like, did you, was that it? Was that your swan song? Did you continue to wait tables? Did you continue to?
No, I went to another salon. I think I went back to my salon days, but then I worked for the longest time as a backup nanny with this company.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You do on-call care. And so I had my regulars, but it was mostly like, people's businesses would pay for this so they wouldn't miss work. So if they, like, a babysitter was off or it was spring break, like, I would just do backup care. And because salon and waitress, you do have to look a certain level of good.
Right.
And for children, you don't have to do anything. And being a young comedian, that was the best. Like, you can show up hungover. You could show up in pants. You're eating snacks. You're playing Monopoly. Like,
right.
It's,
I mean,
either,
technically you can do all this when you wait tables too, let's admit it. Like, these are all the things you can also, depending on where you work.
Yeah, I don't think, like, we wore t-shirts and jeans. It's not like we had to look sexy, but you'd probably, like, you know, you couldn't look like full shit, but with children you really could show up in sweatpants. No. And like,
oh yeah,
watch,
you
have to,
gonna be covered in stains eventually anyway.
You have to get,
you know,
down
in germs
on their level, you know. It's like,
like, no one cares if you're wearing makeup. You're not trying to, like, get a tit. I don't know. It was just, it was better for my lifestyle. And then I did that for a long time.
Well, and here's what I think, too, is, like, you going into waiting tables and then, like, doing, like, reception at salon. To me, those are very parallel. Like, you're multitasking like a bitch. Like, you're just, like, you're booking people. The phone is ringing. You're checking people out. Like, it's a juggling act just like serving. So it makes total sense to me that you were, like,
yeah, and it's also
jobs.
Not a real place. Like, when I talk to people with real jobs, I'm like, oh, I would hate all those rules. Like, it yeah. really was lawless and a mess, and everyone was kind of wild. And the biggest problem they did was they overstaffed, so there would be five of us working and we'd each only make $30 or $40.
Oh God.
When you could have just had two girls. And so they would constantly overstaff. That was, like, very annoying.
Horrible.
But I loved doing paperwork at the end. I loved rolling silverware, talking shit. I wish I remembered more gossip, like, between all the girls. And but, like, oh, and then there was one Latvian woman who was there for the destruction of the Soviet Union. And so she hated all of us because we were such brats to her. And she was, like, struggling for her life with her daughter. And she, like, did not love us.
She's like, you have this job for fun.
Yeah,
you know, and she's like hanging on, escaping an international crisis, you know.
Yeah,
that's heavy. That's an interesting thing, too, is when you've been staffed with people who are literally trying to hold their life together. And you're just sort of like, I want drinking money.
Yeah.
You know, I absolutely had coworkers like that where I saw them get fired. And it was like, oh, you can't fire them. Like, you probably ruined her chances at, like, paying down her mortgage or something crazy like that. Where you're like, oh my God, you just fucked that person so hard. Because there's ageism. Like, when you're older, you can't just bounce into any restaurant and get a job. You are relegated to, like, the Denny's of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it
sucks. Diner life. Chicago has the best diners in Mike's, like,
I think I'm
going to
go ahead and agree. I hated New York City diners were garbage.
Yeah.
They were
not open all night. Like, a Golden Apple, Golden Angel was everything to me. I, like, really, and Chicago does have the best all night diners and hot dogs, but we don't have to go there. But
we don't have to go there.
and honestly, like, tacos, very good in Chicago.
Yes.
As well.
And I do want to say, this isn't about serving, but I worked with one waitress, and I tell this story all the time. Like, she had a boyfriend of 10 years and was always like, I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. That's not my life. And then within a year, met a guy, got married, got pregnant, and is, like, so happy and doesn't have to waitress, and he's rich as fuck. And I would run into her in the future and she just looked glowing. And so I always tell people, like, you can always change your mind, or it might not be the right person and your body tells you stuff. But I refer Christine. I think about her a lot. And then one girl, Rochelle, we've rekindled over the internet, which I like. She lived in the building of the restaurant and she loved lottery and bingo. And she taught me a lot too. I was just young and naive. And like, you know, Chicago. I worked at Melio's.
Oh, okay,
for a little bit when I was like 19, 20, and I felt the coolest I'd ever learned. I learned a lot about alternative lifestyles and people. And then through restaurant, like, I'm just, because my parents are not from this country, like, not that I was behind, but I was naive to a lot of the world, even if it's something as simple as like a Cobb salad or something. But I'm grateful to those jobs because I got to learn life things from everybody. And it's exciting. Yeah.
Because like restaurants pretty much, I mean, I'm using the word cater, you know, not ironically, but it caters to all walks of life. And we always say too, it teaches you people skills, interaction. You probably started seeing what you could get away with, making a table laugh, trying out your personality, you know? And yeah, waiting tables made me realize I could probably do stand-up comedy at some point in my life.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Lisa. This was so fun. Thank you for cornering Brooke and being like, get me on your show.
We'll do it.
Yes, you're like, we wanted you. Like,
we did. You're on our list. I can prove it.
I know. I'm just so happy, and I liked being able to reminisce, and be grateful for something I don't think I remembered so fondly or whatever.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, you guys send those server submitted stories our way. You know, absolutely rate, review, subscribe, all those things, all the great shows we have going at One Star Podcast Network. Hit us up on Instagram, all the things. And you know what we say at the end of every episode, Brooke?
That's right. Godspeed.
And good tips. Thank you.